Well, welcome back. Nice to see you after a week. Great to see you all. Yeah, didn't get a whole heck of a lot of snow, but it's plenty cold last weekend, right? Missed you all here. This is like my wife will tell you. It's the worst time of the year for me, from like mid January to mid March. You know, you get home at night and it's already dark and it's too cold to really do anything outside. You just get that sense of cabin fever, but hang in there. Spring is on the way. Easter's kind of late this year, but Diane already got out communications to all the members and participants in the Living Last Supper, so we're all getting excited about that. I'm getting my Judas on, ready to go. So there's that to look forward to, and you know, thinking ahead towards that, it's a program and a ministry that we all joy, and I enjoy the relationship and the camaraderie with all the other people who participate. And it's something that I really value. And that sort of segues into what we're going to be talking about here today. We're going to talk about Paul's letter to the Corinthians and his observations and his analogy between parts of the body and parts of the spirit, and how that all fits together, and we're going to discuss a little bit about what it means to have spiritual value. So with that ahead of us, if you join with me now and bow our heads in an opening prayer. Father, bless this gathering of your children, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, unite us to do your will and grant us the opportunity to be part of the display of your glory. Fill us with Christian joy till we burst at the seams. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please stand and extend the peace of Christ to your brothers and sisters that are gathered here today.
Good morning, church. I want to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning. And as you make your way back to your seats, we'll pause for these few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. I would ask that you take a minute to please sign your name on our registration pad. The office likes to keep record of those in attendance. Please take that red folder, sign your name, and then pass it to others in the pew, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also in those red folders, if you have a prayer request or you have some information that you need brought forward this morning to Brian Campbell, please use those 3x5 cards, and the ushers will bring them forward. While January was near ending, our last Sunday, and each Sunday we have been reciting our memory verse. You can find that on the first page, top center of your bulletin. And we recite that twice through. Join me now. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We do have a variety of announcements this morning, and first we'll open with Diane Runser, our music director.
We are blessed in this church to have people who volunteer for a lot of things. So it's a new year, so I have a whole stack of opportunities for your service. The front page is about our talent show, which is going to be on February 24th. So if you have any particular talent you would like to share with the church, there will also be refreshments afterwards sponsored by the youth group. So please sign up for your talent. I also have various sheets for helping with the coffee hours monthly, ushers, sound team, greeters, worship hosts, altar guild, etc., etc., etc. It's going to take a while for you to go through this stack. There is also up in the balcony, there is another clipboard up there if you guys want to find that. So I'm going to pass this around, and I hope that you will make sure to see what your talent is in helping at the church and sign your name. If you signed up for last year, that was last year. So do it fresh. And please make sure that we have a phone number for you so that the person in charge can get in touch with you. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And just to follow up on that, please do not hesitate to contact the office or just talk directly to Diane or the pastor if there is any talent that you would like to share. So you don't have to sign up to help. You can just let someone know, and we will come and get you. I do want to, before we get into the announcements, I just wanted to say just quickly that the commotion this morning, one of our parishioners, Sarah and Wendell, typically sit in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in Barb's aisle. Sarah is 87. Sarah fell down the steps around 10:30 this morning, and we contacted the ambulance. She is on her way to Forbes Regional Hospital. She was conscious. She was aware. She wasn't writhing or screaming in pain, so God is good in that sense, and we do ask, and Brian, certainly during prayers, for the Lord's arms of mercy and healing around her, and Wendell did go with her. And Barb, were we able to get in touch with the kids at all? All right, that's great. So that's where we all were, and that. Okay. Their daughters were on their way to church here, so it was difficult to get in touch with everyone. So if you were wondering what that was, I didn't want to keep you in the dark, but it looks very promising, and she's just going to be checked out. So that's all good news. So a few of our announcements that I will highlight are Outreach Committee. They were preparing for a soup to go last Sunday, and due to the weather conditions, we did not have church service. So that's today. Soup to go is today. So please take home a warm bowl of soup prepared by our outreach committee. Speaking of soup, next Sunday is Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, here at First Church. How many of you are not rooting for New England? But in all seriousness, our Super Bowl here at First Church, we fill the pantry of the First United Methodist Church Food Bank. All through the year, we're doing fundraisers and gathering of food for Food Bank. So we use this opportunity on Super Bowl to fill it with our pantry shelves with soup and spaghetti sauce, macaroni and cheese, and even some cake mixes. So check your bulletin today for those items, dry good items needed for our pantry. And then just to piggyback on when I mentioned that there was no church last Sunday due to the cold and icy conditions, please pay attention in today's bulletin. There are some specific guidelines on how Pastor Bruce will look at the cold weather and the ice, and basically, in a nutshell, check the television because we will be alerting the TV stations. So I would remind you to check the other activities and events going in this week to the life of our church. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to our worship. Thank you, Diane, for that beautiful prelude. I would now ask that you stand, and please follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. We each have many gifts to offer in service to God. Each person here has been blessed by God. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 98 in your red hymnal.
We're going to have to share these. I got some pieces here I'd like to hand out.
Let's see, one will be a hand, and maybe the two of you can be the chest, you know? Because the chest has like the heart in it and the lungs. You get to be that. And I think the two of you are going to have to share a foot. Apparently, we're having some video or audio problems here. It'll catch up. There we go. And let's see, you can be a leg. How about the two of you be an arm, okay? Now, let's go around. What's a leg do for you? Helps you walk. What do you got? An arm. What do you do with your arms? Yeah, you can lift things up, you can reach out, and grab things. You got a foot. What do you do with a foot? Helps you walk. I mean, your legs walk, and then your feet, they sort of help you balance, right? And you guys got?
Chest.
You got the chest, so you got a heart. What's a heart do? Pumps blood. What do your lungs do? Helps you breathe. It breathes for you. You have the hand. What do you do with the hand? Yeah, it helps you grab things. So, let me grab one of these things here. There we go. If you were taking this pail, for instance, back to the back of the sanctuary, and you use your hand to grasp it, you use your arm to lift it, you do your legs, you walk back there, your feet you sort of balance on, you know, your heart will pump the blood to keep you going, you'll be able to breathe in the oxygen. And who tells all those body parts? Well, let's do this first, because all those individual parts, the hand, the legs, the arm, I mean, they don't do much on their own. You know, a hand without the body doesn't really do anything. You don't have to work together, right? So we got this puzzle thing. Put your pieces in that puzzle. No pressure. It's a puzzle meant for 1.5-year-olds, so I'm optimistic. And there we go. And there's one part missing up top. What's the part missing up top? That's the head. That's like, the brain is like the CEO of the physical body. It tells everybody what to do. So if you want to go back to the sanctuary, head says, okay, feet you got to walk, legs you got to walk, hands you got to grasp, the arms you got to lift. Tells you how to do all those things. Now, there is a spiritual body, okay? The spiritual body is this church. It's not the building of this church, but all these people you see in here are parts of the spiritual body. And we all have certain spiritual gifts, right? I mean, we got Pastor Bruce and Pastor Ron and Tracy, who they're all good at leading worship and teaching us. And you have Sunday school teachers, right, who teach us stuff. And there's people that build things, like the work group that goes to Philippi, West Virginia every year. They build something for people. Or the people working the food bank, they give out food to people who need it. Or people who make the prayer shawls, they knit them together and they pray over them so they provide comfort to people. And Diane and the choir, they inspire us through music and worship through music. There's all these things that make up the church, and each of us do it all, okay? But together it's like one-stop shopping, right? We can come here and we can get anything we need because each of us has spiritual gifts that all put it together. And who's the head, who's the CEO, the chief executive officer of the church?
Jesus.
Jesus is. We have to function as well as we can in a peak efficiency so that Jesus can lead us to the will of God, right? That's what it's all about. And that's what we're going to talk about today in our sermon. So with that, could you bow your heads and pray with me for a moment? Lord Jesus, bless these children. And bless the families of these children and bless the congregation that they may teach these children how to find their spiritual gifts so that they can serve with passion our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
trusting in the Lord for big or small things. God can, God can, God can supersize it. God can, God can, God can supersize it. Trusting in the Lord for big or small things. God can, God can supersize it. God can, God can supersize it. He'll magnify it. He'll multiply it. Expanderize it. God can supersize it.
Thank you, Sunshiners. One more round of applause for Hannah and Sophie, Michael, Charles, and Olivia. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Hear these words. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Here ends the reading of our holy word. I'd now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Creation shows the power of God. There's glory all around, and those who see must stand in awe, for miracles abound. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free. Miraculous the change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lilies push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. The love of God, O power divine, 'tis wonderful to see the miracles that he has wrought. Should lead to Calvary. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free. Miraculous the change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free, miraculous the change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God.
True God, we sit in our seats this morning with space around us lest we be uncomfortable or make someone else uncomfortable. We sometimes feel we can stay as an island, protected and guarded, and still be faithful to you. Then you remind us that we are part of one body in Christ, and that every part, from the greatest to the least, is important to the whole. So as we give our gifts this morning, we are reminded that our generosity strengthens us in the whole body, here and in the furthest parts of the globe. This we pray in the holy name, above all others, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
catch up one another and express our joys and concerns. I'm going to start out the joy category. My wife and I are going to be grandparents this week, either Wednesday or Thursday. Our son Matthew and his wife Sarah are going to have a baby, and she's going in Wednesday. And if they don't come Wednesday, they're going to take it on Thursday. And my son Jeremy's going to be an uncle. So that's a praise. And then I ask for your prayers for Matt and Sarah this week as they enter a new phase of life. What other joys do we have here today? The music today. Yes, thanks to the kids. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Diane. What do you got?
Rhythm.
I'm sorry?
Rhythm.
Rhythm. Oh, what goes with the music thing. Yeah, I don't have much rhythm. I don't do too good at that. So I keep the mic off when I sing. Got rhythm, we got music, we got babies. Any other joys?
Wednesday.
You're going to be 29 on Wednesday.
Welcome the new baby.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be the same day, huh? Could be. And congratulations, Diane. Happy birthday. I'm sorry, did I miss one? Betty, always, boy, it's always a pleasure to see Betty at our service. You know, I look out and I look for certain faces that I can take some comfort in when I'm up here, because I get a little nervous up here, and seeing Betty here, that's always a blessing and a help to me. Are there other joys?
Indoor plumbing,
there we go. Others?
Our health,
I'm sorry? Okay, you're an optimist. You're liking the beautiful colors of winter. All right? If we have no more joys, let's go on to our concerns. And as you know, from what Tracy shared with you earlier, you know, Sarah fell coming into church today. So our prayers and thoughts go to Wendell and Sarah, again, pillars of this church. And we wish her a speedy recovery, and it's not too painful for her. In the first service, I heard Bob is in the hospital having some difficulties. They're trying to figure out what his issues are. Apparently, his white blood count is quite low. And so we reach out to Bob and pray for God's comfort to him. Other concerns? Agnes, what did you say? Agnes.
The Foster family.
Foster. Okay. Others? Hey, Eric. Okay, prayers for Pam. Other concerns? Traveling mercies for Eric. Okay. For our church? Any else? I'm sorry.
For our country.
For our country. Yes. Our church, our country, our leaders. Okay, with those, would you join me and bow our heads in prayer? Holy, mighty, and profoundly merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory, and we gather together as a demonstration of our humility and our gratitude for the blessings you have bestowed upon this church family. Each member of this church body owes every breath of their life, every joy they experience, and every hope of salvation to you. In great love, Jesus, Son of God, was sent to mankind. And while he walked amongst us, he reached out to heal the sick and suffering. He preached good news to the poor in spirit. And on the cross, he opened his arms out to us in an expression of his unfathomable love.
We commit our concerns, our griefs, and our troubles and entrust them to your care. We petition your presence and guidance for our leaders, our country, our church, our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, those with addiction issues. And we pray specifically for Sarah and Wendell, and for Bob, and for Agnes. We pray for the Foster family, and for Pam. We pray for travel mercies for Eric. We pray for our friends, our family, our co-workers. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and through him he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, our sermon scripture today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single organ, what would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. The word of God for the people of God. Well, look, if you're all expecting that I'm going to say something really inspirational or that I'm going to have some sort of perception that you hadn't thought of about this scripture reading and what its obvious intent is and what its meaning is, you're going to be a little disappointed. I got nothing here. Because I mean, we could talk about the church at Corinth you know, we can gossip about them all day long. They had their share of warts, but there was nothing really that triggered Paul's writing here that came out of that setting. I mean, this is a passage that has applicability regardless of generation, regardless of environmental surroundings. It's an observation that is really timeless. So I can tell you all about the time that Paul wrote this, but it really wouldn't add to your depth of understanding of this passage. And really, in all fairness to Paul, Paul doesn't need me to explain him, okay? Paul explains to us. He's probably the most accomplished writer of all times. Our memory verse this month comes from Romans. Paul wrote Romans, and Romans is this concise thesis that sets forth all the major tenets of what it means to be a Jesus follower. So Paul doesn't need my help to help explain his observations. And the observation we're going to focus on this morning is the observation of how we all interact together as the body of Christ. How I interact with you, how you interact with the guy next to you and down there, or how you interact with the people up there in the balcony. It's all about how we all interact as the body of Christ, because when we all act together, we all work in concert, there we develop this metaphysical force, okay, that is more powerful than the sum of what we have to offer individually. And that's what Paul does, and he does it through this analogy of the parts of the body, and he compares that to the parts of the spiritual body, and it's self-explanatory, but there are certainly some takeaways from this. Number one, diversity is not merely a reality, it is a necessity. What I mean by that is it's a reality from the standpoint, it's a fact that different parts of the body perform different separate functions. The hand grasps, the arm lifts, the legs walk, the feet balance, the eyes see, the ears hear. And we all work together to form this body. And when we do that, when we operate at peak efficiency, then the head of the body, the brain, the CEO, can direct the body as to what to do. Likewise, with the spiritual body, we are all members of the spiritual body, okay? So certain people have certain gifts towards music. We have certain people who have gifts towards worship service. We have people who are gifted with music. We have people who are gifted with outreach. And they all fit together to serve the body. And so they are a reality, but they're also a necessity, because if you cut out any of those parts, all right, if you're not willing to accept and embrace people with different spiritual perspectives, so long as they're scripturally sound, then you're missing out on something. Okay, you can't have all musicians or all teachers or all caregivers. You all fit together as a unit, and you become a necessity, because if you don't have all the parts, if you don't include everyone, you're missing something. And Paul uses the example, you know, hey, what if the whole body was an eye? Then you couldn't hear, right? You'd be missing out. And also, it's a little creepy, right? One giant eye. There's actually a sci-fi, British sci-fi film from 1958 called The Crawling Eye. And this radioactive cloud, you know, makes this giant eye, and the eye slogs through the villages of the Swiss mountains and decapitates people. I digress. The point of the story is that you need all the parts of the body to make it work in a single function. So you have that takeaway. But you also have the takeaway that the value, I mean, what gives us value is not what we do as individuals. It's what we do
to make our spiritual body, our physical body, perform at peak performance so that the CEO, in terms of the physical body, that's the brain, or in terms of the spiritual body, that's Jesus Christ, can move us towards our goal. And in the brain, its instinct is to teach self-preservation and self-interest. Jesus' goal is for us all to act in accordance with God's will. And our value as individual pales in comparison to the value of the whole body. Look at the hand. The hand is a biological engineering marvel. Our opposable thumbs are the envy and rave of all the animal kingdom, right? Our eyes are incredibly complex. They take refractions of light of things out there in the universe, and we interpret that in our brain, and they work. And less glamorous, our feet, you know, they're really a marvel of transportation. They're able to traverse a plethora of terrains. But the feet, the hands, the eyes, the ears, in and of themselves, they're not relevant unless they're serving the body, right? I mean, that's where the value comes from. You've all seen those studies, I think. I was looking up one recently this weekend where somebody goes through and they say, well, you know, there's like six elements that are primarily make up like 97% of the body. It's like oxygen and nitrogen and carbon and phosphorus and calcium. There's another one out there. But if you added up the value of all those elements, quantity that it takes to make up a human being, at least the study I was reading this week said it's all worth about $160. Okay, last week I had to go and get a new alternator for my car. It cost me almost two human beings. I wish I was more mechanically inclined. I probably could have done it myself and saved a human being. Now my check engine light's on, and I don't know how many human beings that's going to cost me. Well, you know, that's craziness. You're comparing apples to oranges because those elements that really are valueless in their base form, when they form together to form organs and they form together to form systems of the body, they lose their individual identity. They become a person, right? And that's where a person has value. And how do we know a person has value? We know it has value because of God, what God was willing to do for us to save us. And that's the ultimate measuring stick, isn't it? That's how we know that we are valuable, when we work together and coordinate together to become one body united in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I guess there's a third thing to consider when you're looking at this passage, because the analogy between parts in the body and us as parts of the spiritual body, it's not a precise analogy because, you know, parts of the body, they don't know the whole picture. They don't even get the big picture. You know, lungs can't say, by the way, you know, the heart's doing a lot of work here. I can sort of shut down for a while and let the heart do everything. It doesn't work that way because, newsflash to the lungs, the heart doesn't know how to breathe, right? You need them all to work together in a pattern so they can work at peak efficiency and allow the brain, allow Jesus Christ, the CEO, to do all the work. And so a lung doesn't know why it breathes. It breathes because the brain tells it to breathe, because the brain knows that breathing is a good thing for self-preservation. Now, as members of the spiritual body, we do have cognitive abilities, so that each one of us has free will, and we can decide whether or not we're going to obey our physical body CEO, the brain. And the brain, in all fairness, you know, it instinctually is risk adverse. It's not going to stick its neck out on the line for something that might compromise its physical presence. What we have here is a situation where the relationship, our ability to unite, it's a little dicey because we all got to be on the same page in order to be what Jesus expects us to be. It's a little harder, isn't it, to reach that point. So, you have those aspects, and you certainly have the unifying force in Jesus Christ. You ever see the movie Braveheart? It's about Sir William Wallace. He was, I guess you would call him a revolutionary in Scotland before Scotland was Scotland, and the clans of Scotland were being controlled and tormented by the English Empire. And William Wallace, he would plead with the leaders of the clan, you know, he'd clasp his hands and say, unite us, you know? And after the fall of the nation of Israel, you know, for 700 years, the Jewish people, they prayed to God, send the Messiah, unite us. And God said, wait for it. And then, boom, it came out of nowhere into Bethlehem. 30 years later, you got 3 years of his ministry, and he turned the world upside down. So we have the unifier, right? What's the problem? I mean, the ball's in our court. Well, the only thing that holds back us, the only thing that held back the clans of Scotland, was our willingness to have complete faith and complete allegiance and complete passion to the one who's here to unite us. And that's Jesus Christ. And if you put your passion behind us so that we can all act in accordance with Jesus' will, and if we trust Jesus to get us from point A to point B, because we can't get there ourselves, then it all fits together, it all works. So this is what we gotta do. Step one, figure out what your spiritual gift is. Don't overthink it. Think what you do good, and then figure out what your church needs. Okay? And then step two is, do it. There's plenty of opportunities in this church. You know, Diane just passed out the handbill there with all types of things to sign up. And you know what? If there isn't an opportunity there, make an opportunity. It's there for you. And we do those things, and we work together, and we can become the church that God wants us to be. Amen.
Please stand for our final hymn, number 548, in your red hymnal.
As you go from this safe haven
take peace and comfort in knowing that the spirit of all of us are with each of you as you go forward this week and face the trials and embrace the opportunities. May God bless this church, and may God supersize our works. We say this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.